Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, October 19th, 2013. This is episode 1023. Little program note, as of this episode, America's Talk is no longer heard on Sirius or XM. That means you can no longer hear the Tech Guy on XM satellite radio, as you have for the last 8 years. A little disappointing, but of course, there are plenty of other ways you can listen. We recommend you visit iHeartRadio.com or download the free iHeartRadio app on your smartphone. You can always listen to the Tech Guy that way. And of course, we make podcast versions available. I think you figured that out since you're listening to one. And you can even watch live on our netcast network, twit.tv. We do the show live Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. So if you tune in, if you go to twit.tv and say watch live, you'll see me. You'll be able to watch the show or listen to the show as we do it, including all the stuff you don't get on the satellite, like me swearing and screaming and yelling at Heather and things like that. So iHeartRadio.com, the iHeartRadio app, or live twit.tv Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. Now, you did find the podcast, so enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools you'll need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/twit and enter the offer code TECHGUY at checkout. And by OmniAlert. OmniAlert's mass notification platform allows you to instantly send text messages, emails, and more to your entire organization. For a 2-week free trial and 20% off your first year of service, visit OmniAlert.com/twit and use the offer code TECHGUY. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, and all that jazz. Yes, it's your worst nightmare, a geek with his own radio show. Holy cow. How did this happen? if you're looking at new cell phones, see, I'm the guy to ask. Mm. We're going to have a big event Tuesday, the next Apple event. We still have more to cover, says Apple, with an exploding peacock tail all over it. And where everybody's speculating. It's so funny to watch people speculate. So the invitations went out Tuesday, as expected, October 22nd, this coming Tuesday. Apple's going to have an announcement. We're pretty sure it's going to be at least one new iPad. We don't know more than that. I expect a Mac Pro because Apple's been saying coming this fall. They're running ads in the movies. If you went to see Gravity, you'd see a giant. Somebody was telling me he went to see Gravity, the new Sandra Bullock, George Clooney movie, and they had two ads. They had an ad for Windows, Microsoft Windows 8.1, and they, which apparently was received with deafening silence. And then they had the very beautiful ad for the new Mac Pro, which is really says nothing, tells you nothing. It's just, you know, pretty pictures. And coming this fall.
Yeah.
In a world where no computer has ever looked this good.
One of
and
those teasers.
The audience was cheering after the Mac Pro ad.
Really?
Yeah.
Applause.
Now, I think this was in L.A. where that you've got a lot of professionals working in the movie industry and in television industry. And they use Macintoshes. I think they felt a lot of what we call the pro users have felt a little bit left behind by Apple. So there was applause.
Mm.
You know, I think probably a normal audience wouldn't even know what they're seeing. What, Apple's doing a sci-fi movie? I'm not sure. What's coming this fall? I don't understand. But they knew, and they were happy.
And in the film itself, is there any brilliant product placement?
I don't know.
Placement?
I haven't seen it. Don't tell me. Cool. I doubt there's a Macintosh falling through space. But it could be. You never know. What did come out last week was Windows 8.1. A little trouble in paradise here, unfortunately. I think it's nice if you're using Windows 8 Pro. It's a good upgrade. It fixes a lot of bugs. It really enhances. Actually, I think my buddy David Pogue at the New York Times kind of nailed it when he described both the pros and the cons of Windows 8 and now Windows 8.1. The headline of his article, Reconciling Two Worlds with Windows 8.1. And what he said, and I think he's right, that the problem with Windows 8 is it's two things mushed into one. It's the traditional Windows desktop world that we're used to, and this new, what he calls tile world. I'm not fond of that name. But the problem is there is no official name because Microsoft, which called it Metro for a long time, you know those tiles on the front, the start screen? Microsoft got sued by a company in Germany called Metro, and now says it's just called the modern UI. And I think that's kind of nondescriptive. So everybody, David Pogue included, has had to come up with a name. I just continue to call it Metro because that's really, I mean, that's, you know what that is, and most people know what that is. But he calls it Tile World. But he says, and I agree with him, the problem with Windows 8 is this Tile World meets desktop. It's two operating systems in one, three different control pants, you know, control settings. There's two different Internet Explorers, and they're different. Like the Internet Explorer for Tile World has the browser bar at the bottom. The Internet Explorer for the desktop has the browser bar at the top. One can do things the other can't. It's very confusing to users. And he says, while 8.1 has really improved a lot, He likes the new programs that come, all new apps like food and drink, health and fitness, reading list. He says they haven't solved that problem. They fixed search, he says. Search now searches everything. You don't have to choose what you're searching. The start screen is maybe a little bit more friendly. You can make it a little bit, if you could find it. I can't find the settings. You can make it. I've intentionally not read the how-tos offered by third parties like my friend Paul Thurrott, hoping that, you know, that would be apparent in Windows 8.1, how to set it up so that it could, for instance, start up in the desktop. I'm told you can do that. There's a setting somewhere. Good luck finding it. You're going to have to refer to a third party, I think, or maybe Microsoft has a help document somewhere. You're going to have to search for it. And then the other thing you can do is have the start screen, instead of being the Metro tiles, you can have it be like a list of apps, which is more like a start menu. It's very confusing. And then, okay, so the update comes out. The nice thing is Microsoft's offering it for free. If your Windows is up to date, and this is the first thing I found out, I'd been on a vacation, so I hadn't updated Windows. I'd missed that most recent update a couple of weeks ago. And so I didn't, it says, oh, just go to windows.com in your browser and click a link and we'll send you the right place in the store, and nothing. I got to the store and there's nothing. What they neglected to mention is make sure you're completely up to date. So I updated everything because apparently the store got updated. Then I went to windows.com, clicked the link, and now I see a big thing that says update to Windows 8.1. So if that happened to you, make sure, and you've got Windows 8, make sure you've run Windows Update and you're all the way up to date. Then you get that offer in the store, Windows 8.1. Took a little while to download it, then it has to install. I think it's probably faster now. I was doing it the first day it was available. Everybody else was trying to do it too, so it took me most of the day. But finally got it installed. Nice, no problem. My friend Tom Merritt has a Windows RT, a Surface RT tablet. Did the same thing. Machine wouldn't start. It turned into what they call a brick. It bricked it, which is your greatest fear with an operating system update, that when you do it, it'll suddenly, it won't reboot. It won't come back. And it didn't. I think there's a problem because Microsoft has announced today they're pulling out, they're stopping Windows RT 8.1 upgrade. I think there's a big bug. Though some people, they said, have had some problems. I know not everybody. But some people have had some problems. Another thing you should probably find out about, if you're updating more than one Windows 8.1 machine, there is a downloadable, what they call ISO, which is the equivalent of an installed disk that you can download, put on a USB key or a drive, and then update all your computers at once. That would save you the 3.2 gigabyte download. The link is complicated. I'll put it in the show notes. And in the chat room, because it's not obvious, but there is a link to do that. And I'm not even sure that it works for everybody. It's upgrade Windows with only a product key. And if you have Windows 8 installed, you'll be able to just download a Windows 8.1 ISO, the full thing. But you need to have a product key. You can't use Upgrade Assistant. I mean, I'll tell you what. You probably could Google Microsoft.com upgrade Windows with only a product key. Or you could maybe even Bing it. I don't know. I'm trying to get used to Bing.
Why?
Because in Windows 8, Bing's the thing. And again, non-obvious. I'm sure I could do this, change it back to Google, because I don't really like Bing, but I can't, you know. I'm ending up going to Google.com and searching from there. I still have a hard time recommending Windows 8. Here's my bottom line for people who are thinking about it. If you have to buy a new computer now, you're going to get Windows 8. Might as well live with it. Enjoy it. Learn to love it. But really what's happening here is Microsoft is going through a major sea change. They're going from a desktop operating system to a new tablet-style operating system. That's their goal. They have, according to my friend Mary Jo Foley, the next version of Windows will be all tablet. It'll be based on, get this, Windows Phone, which is a very tiley interface. This is the future. But we're in this intermediary period where Microsoft doesn't want to leave the past behind. They've historically had a hard time doing that. And they aren't really quite ready to go into the future 100%. So you get this hybrid. And I understand why. But why should you suffer? Don't suffer. Stick with Windows 7 until it's the next computer. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So I wanted to show people the iFixit because this is really cool. You know, we've had a Kyle Wiem of iFixit on before. iFixit is just a wonderful resource. Every time a new device comes out, whether it's a phone, an iPad, an iPod, they tear it down. And so that's really the best way to see what's inside this stuff. But what you may not know, if you go to iFixit.com, you'll see, is it really is designed, and this was the intent all along, Kyle's intent all along, to be kind of a place for people who want to do their own fixin'. A free repair guide for everything ever. They now have 10,000 repair guides online. Smartphones, computer, tablets, game consoles. This is the first place I go. For instance, when we wanted to put a hard drive in the iMac, where'd Colleen go? iFixit, of course. If you shattered your iPhone screen, you want to fix it yourself, iFixit will tell you how. Repair your laptop, swap the battery on your Nexus 7. iFixit has you covered. They hook you up. They even have the parts. And this is how they make their money. They give away the manual for free, but you can get then the parts from them, and always at a great price. iPod mini replacement battery, $14, right? That battery dies. You have to bring it to Apple. It's $90. You can do it yourself easily with the right tools. Now, this is what I want you to look at. I mean, you're a geek like me. This the iFixit Pro Tech Toolkit. Look at this. So awesome. Even if you just have the pouch and you carry it around, people go, oh, he's a pro. There are 70 tools in here that will help you do everything you need to do. I mean, such cool. This is, you feel like I'm a physician here. You got your spudger to open up a lot of these cases now, you have to pry them open. You got the little pry bar. It makes it so much easier. They've got a trowel end and a flat end. And the thing is, you don't have to know which end do I use. You use the iFixit repair manual, and then now you've got the tool. And they'll refer directly to the tool. Look at that. I want that. I'm just going to keep this right here. I am a man or a woman. I'm a geek. Let's put it that way. You get your Torx security bits. You got your Phillips, your Pentalobes. That's the Mac and iPhone stuff. You know, Apple, I think, does this on purpose to make it hard to repair, but iFixit solves it. You got all these cool little doohickeys for grabbing. Look at that. That's a grabber.
I'm loving it.
Oh, it's so cool.
That's a great stocking stuffer. I'm gonna get that for the tech geeks.
Oh, you know some geeks. This is absolutely what you should get them. $65. iFixit.com, backed by a 1-year warranty. Of course, EASD safe precision tweezers for manipulation. You could even repair a watch with this.
Wow.
Static free devices. This is a non-metal spudger. So you don't, sometimes you can't. Well, the manual will tell you, use your non-metal spudger. I love it. Nylon, metal, plastic opening tools, lightweight, compact, durable roll to make a on-the-go choice for repair easy. You got it with you all the time. 1-year warranty. Everybody ought to have this. You can even use it to fix eyeglasses and doorknobs pick locks. No, did I say that? No. Repair is noble. E-waste is a huge problem. iFixit is solving it right now, and I love them for it. Thank you, Kyle Weem. With iFixit.com/twit, you're going to get the step-by-step guides, everything you need. iFixit.com. Go to the /twit so that they know where you saw this. And enter the offer code TECHGUY at checkout. $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. That means the kit's now $55. iFixit.com/twit. The future is bright. The future is bright. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. I neglected to mention that's the phone number. You'll be talking to the phone ranger herself, Ms. Heather Hamana. So, Heather Hamana, you had over the week, I gave you a T-Mobile Nexus 4 to test. How did it work in San Francisco? Was it okay?
Just okay.
Just okay. See, it works so well up here. And that's the problem when you choose a carrier. When you nowadays, when you're choosing a smartphone, choose the carrier first. So in San Francisco, I'm guessing it's not AT&T because everybody has an iPhone and that kind of screws things up. I'm guessing Verizon's probably the best up there. Have you tried Verizon in San Francisco?
I haven't. I need to try it in more different locations.
All right, I'm going to give you a Verizon. Okay, your next phone.
Oh.
Because we're going to keep trying until we find.
Assignment.
Well, you know, you can go to the carrier and say, go to the store and say, look, I don't know how this is going to work. And all of them will say, okay, you have 2 weeks to try it and you can bring it back at no cost. There's no restocking fee. I think. Pretty sure they'll all do that. But you should certainly make sure before you get the phone. And then, so you find the carrier that's gives you best coverage in your house, at your work, the various places you go. Then, you know, you can get almost any of these phones. You can get on almost any carrier. How did you like the Google experience? You're an iPhone person. No, you didn't like it. Be honest.
Here's what I'm saying.
Be honest.
It's the internet date of phones. Like, I'm going to give it a second chance, but I was not impressed.
Awesome.
Big resounding meh.
Good. Well, you're using what many consider the definitive Google phone, the Nexus 4. We are waiting any minute now. Sometime this month, I think, in the next 2 weeks, we'll see a Nexus 5. So that's not the, you're not looking at a Nexus 4 for purchase, but it's a good example of what a up-to-date Google phone looks
like. It's taller and handsomer.
Yeah. It's like the internet date of phones. D-Void in the chat room said, did you just hand her an Android phone without any instruction? No wonder she's mad. Well, but isn't that how your experience would be anyway in the real world? It's just because you know the tech guy, you shouldn't have any advantage.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's
you should experience it as a real person. Would you go in the store? You would say, "I like this." You buy it. You take it home. Then you go. Now what?
He makes a wonderful point. I mean, the iPhone immediately was like, "I love you, Heather," and I'm like, "I love you too. Let's have fun." You know, it's,
Android takes a little more work.
Done and done.
I tell people that's kind of my basic thought is. If you don't want to mess with a phone, the iPhone's a good choice because Apple does it all for you. They say, "Here's what you can do, what you can't do," and that's it. But if you're a geek like me and you like to mess with stuff, if you have an iFixit toolkit and you're not afraid to use it, then an Android phone is a better choice because there's no limit. You know, for instance, I hate the iPhone keyboard. It drives me crazy because I have fat fingers. You're stuck with it. That's the keyboard. There is no other keyboard for the iPhone. Apple won't let you change. On Android, there are dozens of keyboards you can choose from with a variety of different styles and so forth. Now, each time you install one of them, they have to warn you. By the way, we can't promise that this company that does this keyboard is not stealing all your information. This could be a keystroke logger. We don't know. We don't think it is. But you should be aware this is capturing all your keystrokes and could be sending it back to the home office. See, Apple decides, no, we're not going to take that chance. We're going to give you a keyboard we know is safe. We'll take care of it. If you trust Apple, then you trust the keyboard. Android's point of view, the point of view of most Android devices is, it's a dangerous world. We think you ought to have a choice. You're a grown-up. You figure it out. And I think in each case, there are people who like each situation. You sound like I'm starting to gather. You want the safe thing. You don't want the internet date.
Oh, right.
You. She's been on far too many. Who should I talk to first, HH?
I definitely was keeping an open mind here, too.
Good for you.
And
I'm
proud of
you.
And I want another day with it, but I'm more just checking out the T-Mobile aspect at this point.
Yeah. But I think also that's a good Android phone for you to say, do I like Android? That's a pure Android experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good
I
to
think
know.
Now, you know what we should do? Somebody, Bean Boy in the chat room, Bean Boy 89, just, you know, just distinct himself from Bean Boy 88. Bean Boy 89 says you should try a Windows phone. And I think, to be fair, boy, that's a good. Therein lies Microsoft's problem right there. That reaction.
That reminds me of the internet date from 3 weeks ago.
Yes,
that's
last
what
year's
will
internet
be.
Date. Yeah.
Just a prediction.
No, it's like 2 years ago internet. So we gotta. Okay, well.
but I'll do it. I'll
you
want to
be a guinea pig? This is the price you pay. So we'll find you a Verizon, the 928. I think the Lumia 928 would be good for you. I'm like you're in a shoe store. You know, I think you're really going to like the Lumia 928. Let's just try it on. You can walk around a little bit, see how it feels.
It's the Libertines of phones.
No. It's more like the Clark's shoes. Who should I talk to here? Come on, give me a call.
Yeah, let's talk to Len in San Diego.
Because I am ready to talk to somebody, anybody. Len in San Diego. Thank you, HH. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Len.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. A couple months ago, I bought a new Lenovo laptop, and of course it had Windows 8 on it, and I immediately put Stardate on it, and everything was working fine. I love the computer.
Are you talking about Stardock?
Stardock, yeah.
Yeah.
And at first I tried Classic Shell, but I didn't like that one as much, so I spent the $5 and got the other one.
Yeah. It's called Start 8, and it's Stardock.com has the Start 8 gives you a start menu on Windows 8.
So now that Windows 8.1 is out, I was going to update, but then I thought, do I really need to update? I'm perfectly.
Oh, yeah. No, you should update. It won't change too much of your experience, but first of all, always the rule with Microsoft is update. Because they fix things, not merely cosmetic things, but Windows 8.1 fixes a lot of things, including perhaps some security stuff that you really do want to fix. So when there's an update like that, you really have to do it. Everything should still work. Stardate should still work. I like it. Is Stardate. Stardate. It is. Come to think of it. You said it right. It's Stardate. Even though it's start and the number 8, I think that was the intentional play on words that they did. The thing about 8.1 is it is going to change some things that may disconcert at first. The search now is a real search. Instead of saying, well, I can search this, or this, it searches everything, which is, I think, once you get used to it, what you want. But initially you might say, whoa, I'm seeing too many results, including internet results.
I tried to upgrade this morning, and I couldn't do it. Oh. I put in the latest updates, and it still.
So here's how it up.
To the place.
Oh, okay. So when you went to the you're using Windows 8. It's up to date. You've run the latest Windows update, as I had mentioned earlier, and now you go to the Windows Store in the Metro interface, right?
I went to the Charms bar.
No. All you have to do is go to the Windows Store where you would download new Metro apps, and you'll see a big tile there saying, would you like to update? Do. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the king of our home theater world, Scott Wilkinson from the AVS Forums and our Home Theater Geeks podcast. And a good day to you, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Leo. Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Good deal.
So, we got the OLED TV working great, watching the TV, very happy.
Yeah, looking good.
But now that you told me it's tilted backwards, it's driving me crazy. It's making me nuts.
I'm sorry.
I never noticed that till you told me, and now I do. It's tilted backwards, which is kooky. I guess it'd be better if you were standing up and watching it.
In your particular case, yes, it would.
I'm going to get a high sofa, I guess.
There you go. Or a low credenza.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I got a few questions here, listener questions that I thought I'd answer real quick.
All right.
Richard Reeves is asking about headphones. He's in the market for some new headphones, and he's been looking at the Beats by Dr. Dre. and wonders if there's anything better for less money. And the answer is yes. The Beats by Dr. Dre are not well regarded, I think, by most serious reviewers. You know, they've got the cachet of Dr. Dre, I suppose. So if you're into that, that's fine. But he says the name behind them means nothing to me. And so I say, good. What you need, or what I would recommend, is from Pioneer. They make a number of headphones, including the SEA1000, which is a relatively large headphone. It's over the ear, but it's considered an audiophile headphone, and it's available on Amazon for like $50.
What? Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I think there's a lot of markup in headphones.
That could be. I don't really know.
I think it's very profitable, and that's why you see so many companies making headphones. You know, Beats by Dr. Dre is a joint venture with some other people. HTC invested. They just sold it off. Mm-hmm. But it's really, and it's unfortunate. You know, I have to say, and I know you may disagree with this, but I see the same thing with Dolby, where they'll put their name. For instance, Dolby Sound is on a Kindle Fire and some other things, and it doesn't sound better. It doesn't sound great. They're selling the name.
Yeah, that's often true. And there are a lot of stars, I think, that put their names on headphones and other
stuff.
Well,
it's been very profitable for Dr. Dre, and I think it's Jimmy Iovine who's the other guy in this. But, you know, I think, you know, remember, Dr. Dre's a rap star.
Right.
And I think that Beats, one of the appeals of Beats is it's got a very big bass, overpowered bass.
Undoubtedly, yeah. And I haven't actually heard it myself, but I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, and so I haven't noticed anything particularly. You know, another brand I like a lot is Grado.
Yes, those are very well regarded and not very expensive either. SR60, I think, is a classic model from Grado.
Yeah, and Amazon has the SR60, Grado, by the way. The SR60 for around $70.
Yeah, and the Dr. Dre's, the Beats by Dr. Dre, are over 100 as far as
they're very pricey.
Tell.
And I think it's all, I think it's markup.
I do too.
I think people discovered, hey, you know, it doesn't cost much to put together headphones.
Well,
now you can spend
if you
a
don't
lot,
care about how they work, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to spend a lot of money, you can spend a lot on Grado Prestige headphones, which considered by many audiophile super perfect headphones.
The PSB M4U2 for $400 or M4U1 for $300 are superb sounding headphones, but they're pretty expensive.
You've had on your show Home Theater Geeks headphone gurus, right?
I have, yeah. Both Tyle Hertzens from innerfidelity.com and Jude Mancilla from headfi.org.
Right.
And I wanted to basically also say, go to those two sites if you want to research headphones, because those are the places that I go whenever I need any headphone information.
What is it again? Headfi?
Headfi. HEADFI.org.
All right. Headphone forms. And they don't sell headphones. These are just reviews.
No.
I've been going for a long time to headphone.com, but they sell headphones. So you always kind of wonder.
You wonder. Exactly. You know. No, both headfi.org, which actually is a partner of the same company that runs AVS Forum. So full disclosure there.
Okay.
But it's a forum and it's not, they don't sell product.
I have an ad for toilets I can't get rid of. So. I'm sure it's a wonderful site, but unfortunately, I wish they wouldn't do that. There's no close box on this. I cannot get past this ad.
Oh, man. Is that on the Headfi site?
Headfi.org. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I see the site beneath this lovely toilet ad, but...
you don't click outside of it?
No.
I'm going to have to talk to them about that.
That's what's what they call a takeover ad, but unfortunately, it really took over.
Yeah, seriously. More than I've ever seen before.
I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
You know, just tell them you lost your chance for a big plug on national radio.
I will.
Because we couldn't get past the Kohler ad.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I will do that. Believe me, I will.
Yeah.
okay, anyway.
But headphones, good. I'm glad to hear about that because I think, you know, for many, headphone is the best way to listen because it doesn't bother your neighbors. You can get super good audio for much less than speakers would cost.
Absolutely.
And most of us have portable devices, so we can drive headphones.
Right, exactly. And you don't have to worry about room interactions, room acoustics.
Good point.
Is a whole big thing. I just spent two episodes of Home Theater Geeks talking with Anthony Grimani, a master acoustician about room acoustics. Now, of course, if you're going to be in a home theater and you're going to be watching movies with your loved ones, family and friends and so on, you know, then you obviously can't use headphones unless you have a headphone distribution amp and everybody wears headphones. But that'd be kind of weird.
So it's kind of a solitary occupation.
It is. So if you're going to be in a group, you do need to worry about room acoustics. And Anthony is just a font of knowledge. And so I highly recommend those two episodes of Home Theater Geeks because he goes into great detail and lots of practical tips, too, about what you need and where to put it and where to put your seats and where to put your speakers. It's all really, really good information. So... I got a question from Rich Waddle. He's wondering whether or not he should get the Panasonic ST60 or VT60. Only $200 difference.
Get it quick because Panasonic's going out of the plasma
exactly.
TV business.
Well, he says that. He says, now that plasmas are going, he's got an ST30. He thought I might as well invest in the latest models.
Is there any reason, knowing that Panasonic's going to stop next year, not to get a Panasonic plasma today?
No, okay. I don't think so. They're certainly going to continue to honor the warranty and provide service for years to come. I think they're legally bound to for like 7 years. I know Pioneer told me this, that when they got out of the plasma business, they still have a warehouse full of Kuros because they need to keep them on hand for servicing and warranty replacement. And none of them are under warranty anymore, but they still need to keep a stock on hand. I think they said for 7 years. So... I don't think there's any problem at all buying a Panasonic plasma at this point. The Panasonic plasmas are wonderful. The difference between the ST60 and the VT60 is not much. The VT60 has THX certification and ISF, Imaging Science Foundation, calibration capability, which the ST does not. In terms of picture quality, I don't think there's a great, huge difference between them. But if it's only $200 difference... I'd probably swing for the VT60 just because of the THX certification, which means one of the picture modes out of the box is going to be pretty close to correct. Not 100%, but pretty close.
One of them comes with 3D glasses and one doesn't, right? Isn't that
actually, no, they both do.
Those are the higher-end ones, so it's the low-end
Well, the ST, doesn't. Yeah, the ST is the low-end of the 3D line, but I just took a look at the compare products on the web on the Panasonic website, and they both come with two pairs of glasses.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Scott Wilkinson, you can find more from him at avsforum.com. And, of course, our Home Theater Geeks podcast every Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on twit.tv. Thank you, Scotty.
You betcha.
Kobe went out of business, huh? Wow.
You mean...
Zonk.
Go ahead, take it. I got to do a phone call here.
Okay, you mean Kobe... You mean COBY?
Yeah.
They went out of business,
really?
That's
what somebody in the chat room just said, yeah.
Wow.
They were the very low-end stuff.
Super quick question for you, Leo, before you go.
Yeah.
Low-cost Windows laptops, what brands do you recommend? My niece just got into Lenovo, had some problems with it, wondered if she should get an Asus
Lenovo's
or an Acer.
Lenovo's very good. She must have gotten an IdeaPad, though, if she's not happy
it. Was a
with
gamer. It was a gaming computer, I think.
I don't think you can get good low-price computers. What do you mean by low price?
Like $1,000 or
oh,
under.
Oh, 1,000 is not low price.
Oh, okay.
Low price is 500 or 400.
Okay. All right. So for under like $900, I think she paid for this?
Oh, yeah. She should. Well, Lenovo's a very good. It would have been one of the names I would have recommended.
Ah, okay.
I have a $1,500 Acer S7, which I really like. Mm-hmm. Asus is very good. ASUS is very mm-hmm. good. Yeah.
She was asking about Acer and Asus.
Yeah. I would say, well, Acer has low cost models. You know, everybody has consumer priced and pro priced.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer priced, I don't generally recommend. They're kind of crappy.
Mm.
So I'm surprised, though, at $900, she should have had a decent Lenovo, I would think, but maybe not.
It had some weird problems, the screen. Crapped out once in a while, other problems.
She just happened to get a bad one.
Yeah, that's what
I really have to run.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Okay, so here I am in the chat room, folks. And happy to talk with you about whatever you like. Asus or Acer, iPad 07644 says. Yeah, that's kind of what she was saying, what Leo was saying. Kobe laptops, Titus. Yeah, right. oh, yeah. J5JCH says Kobe went out of business. That's a little surprising. But anyway. Oh, UJ is asking, what 3.1 speaker bar subwoofer combo would I recommend? Actually, I recommend the 2.1 Pioneer. The model number escapes me at the moment. It's the Andrew Jones. It's the only one they make. It's not 3.1, it's 2.1, but it does do a good phantom center. And otherwise, the sound quality is fantastic. Really, really good. So it's, I think, $400. It's got a really nice little subwoofer attached to it. And so that's definitely what I recommend. Rusty Bones is asking if there's Tuba Christmas this year. And of course there is, December 8th. At least it's all over the country, tubachristmas.com. And if you want to learn about the LA Tuba Christmas, which I direct, it's tubachristmasla.com. And so definitely check that out. If you're in the LA area, we're going to have a really great time on December 8th. Nateth asks, how do the Sony MDR V6 headphones compare with the Pioneers? I don't know the Sonys. I do have a pair of Sony MDR 560-something studio headphones that are the standard studio headphones. And, you know, they do sound kind of thin, I have to admit. I much prefer the Pioneers to those. So that's what I can say about that. Razlak, have I got a Sonos Play One yet? No, I haven't. I need to get a Sonos system in here and really give it a good go. So I haven't done that yet, but I will. Cornstarch, am I mistaken, or is Tyle Hertzens not a fan of Grado? No, I don't think so. I think he is. I don't think they're his absolute favorites, but he has spoken highly of them on my show before. Waikiki Guru, Bluetooth issues with the Pioneer? You mean the Pioneer soundbar or speaker bar? Certainly not the headphones, I can't imagine. McButterpants, when does OLED become affordable? Probably at least a couple of years, if not more.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. You've seen it. You know, Scott was talking about headphones earlier. So we've seen an explosion in headphones. You go to the Consumer Electronics Show, it feels like half the show now is devoted to headphones. And I have this theory. You know, of course, it took off because of the iPod and then smartphones. And people mostly now, I think, listen to music if they're not listening in the car or on a maybe on a home theater system. I would bet most music is listened to on headphones with a portable device. And Apple left a lot of room for improvement with its original iPhone headphones. They've gotten better, but it's still a big aftermarket item, probably the biggest aftermarket item, along with cases for iPods, iPhones, smartphones of all kinds. And it turns out, I'm guessing, it's pretty cheap to make some decent headphones. If you look at Grado SR60s, which are around $70 or $80 and are certainly super high fidelity, well, you know, then they're making some money. It probably means that you could build a pretty darn good pair of headphones for $30 or $40. You put some big rap star or musician's name on it, triple the price. And people will buy it just because, well, hey, Dr. Dre makes them. They must be good. And I think that's why all of a sudden this is, I would guess, not knowing anything about it, a very high margin business that's very easy to do. And it's very subjective what's good or bad. I mean, you can test them with test equipment, but really how people feel about their headphones is a very personal thing. Only you hear them, right? So Heather and I wear, I think, some good headphones that have been used in studios for years, these AKG K240s. You've probably used them before, right?
I believe
yeah.
So.
We got them for you. Just, you know why I wear them? Not because they're super high fidelity. We're on the radio. It's just voice. But because they're super comfortable, you can wear them all day.
Yes.
I
and
like
good looking.
I think they're rather smashing, don't you? You can wear them, you know, they're over the ear and they're very padded.
They don't give you the worst headphone hair that other brands
do. Some give you worse. This is, I mean, nothing gives you no headphone hair. We have to divide, except for Scott Wilkinson, who has no headphone hair at all. Because he has no hair.
Yeah, right. That's the way to go. I can demo it. Like, I'll take them off and you'll see that my hair is fluffy and perfect.
yeah, I don't think people are buying headphones because they don't give you, well, maybe, I don't know.
That's, you know what? Earbuds don't give you headphone hair. Maybe that's why earbuds are so big. I don't know. I don't know. I like headphones, but truthfully, to me, the best experience is with speakers still. And it's just more expensive and more complicated to set up. Okay, let's take another call. Who should I say is calling?
Alan in L.A.
Alan. Thank you, Heather. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Alan.
Hey. Hi, Leo. Good to talk to you.
Welcome to the show.
I have a very puzzling Gmail, free Gmail issue. I've had it now for, pardon me, for a couple, year and a half or so. No problem, constant flow. But suddenly, about 3 days ago, it stopped, and then I would get a trickle, and then I got no spam. I received none of my news feeds throughout the day and part of the evening. Occasionally, I'll get an individual email on a business basis, but it kind of worries me that I may be missing others.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, last week we had a caller with a very similar problem. His email was Gmail had disappeared. Her Gmail had disappeared. So one thing we talked about then, and I wonder if it's Gmail changed and added this new feature, this automatic filtering feature. And I wonder if you've noticed this.
Yes, but I decided I didn't want it because it would put items in files. And if I didn't want that in the file, but if you put it in anyway, I would miss it. So I saved it the classic.
Got it. Okay. So you're aware of it. I mean, that's one thing that could happen is because Gmail is now I like it, but I question maybe the wisdom of doing this automatically because people are going to say, where'd my mail go?
You're talking about the
filtering. Yeah, but you've unchecked. So you went to, and it's in the gear. It says configure inbox, and you've unchecked all these other.
Right. I mean, the first day I saw it, I checked it to see what it was, and I realized that I would probably miss emails.
Right.
And I just, I just continued to receive, and I assume I unchecked. Because remember, we're talking, two or three months ago.
Right.
And since then, I've been receiving fine, no problem, until 3 days ago. Now, I also talked to two or three online remote specialists, like AT&T Tech and
Oh, so you get your Gmail through AT&T.
No, my provider is Time Warner Cable, but I get Gmail, just Gmail.
Okay. So you sign up through Google, not some internet service providers use Gmail. So you sign up through Google, though.
Yes, right. Yeah. So you try to contact Google. Obviously, you can't.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
No, Google. The idea of support is a program script.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I talked to two or three techs. One at AT&T Tech, which is an independent,
a third party.
AT&T,
okay.
But you could, and also.
And you've called me. And what do the other guys say? Yeah.
Well, they went online, or they went onto my computer. They checked my settings in case anything was went off. All three said no problem with my computer.
Yeah, that's kind of a waste of time because you're doing this in a browser, right?
Yes, cloud, right?
Yeah, it's cloud-based. Yeah. So, and I presume you've gone to another computer, a third party, or maybe even at work and tried it, and the same thing's happening.
You mean on their...
You logged into Gmail from anywhere besides this one computer?
On my account?
Yeah.
You mean... No.
Try that. If it were something misconfigured in your computer, which it isn't, but you wouldn't be able to get Gmail, it would be fine everywhere else, right? The thing about Gmail, it's a web page. So you can go anywhere, you can get a web page and log in and see if you can see your mail.
But what I do get, a couple of those texts... did it, and they sent me a test message to see if it worked. Their test message showed up immediately.
Yeah.
And then when I send myself a text message, it shows up.
Yeah.
But everything else other than an occasional third-party email doesn't.
This is so this is the same thing that was happening to this other person. I'm not sure what's going on. I would look at your Gmail settings very carefully, make sure you're not filtering it. You didn't turn on vacation mail, for instance. I can't really help you because I don't know what's going on. I use Gmail too. It's my mail provider. And I, it's working, and it's obviously if a lot of people were having this problem, you'd sure hear a howl. One more. We did this last week with the caller, and the fact that this is the second one that's saying the same thing makes me wonder if there's something going on at Gmail. But here's what you should do anyway, at least, Alan. On the left-hand toolbar of Gmail, all the way over where you see all your folders, there's a More, okay? Click that More, and as you scroll down under More, you'll see All Mail. This will be an unfiltered view to everything. And that should have everything you've ever received, that All Mail button. But it's not normally visible. So at the bottom of your folders, there's a More. Then scroll down, I see chats, sent mail, drafts. Then there's an All Mail item. Click that. That's everything without filtering. If you see the mail you've been expecting there, if you see all your mail, including spam, there, then you'll have a very good idea that some filtering is going on that you didn't know about. It will show you what folders things have been filtered into in this view as part of the subject line. So that's the thing to see is if it's in All Mail. If it is, then what's happening is it's getting processed still, either automatically by Gmail or accidentally by you and filtered around. I don't know of any other solution, frankly. I mean, Gmail is opaque. You're not paying for it. Google doesn't provide much support, if any. You were probably smart to call a third party, although the third party didn't do you right. All they had to do, first thing they do is say, well, can you look at your Gmail from any other computer? If you can go to another computer and it's normal, then it is your computer. It's highly unlikely because it's a browser view. It's hard to think of how you could misconfigure your browser to cause this problem. It's not your computer. It's Gmail, and it's something that some way that Gmail's been configured in some unpredictable way. So I would go through. So go see if you see All Mail. That's everything. It takes everything out of the folders and blasts it on the screen. If you see everything you've been expecting there, then it's a filtering issue, and you need to go back through your settings and see. Maybe vacation is turned on. Something like that. It's great to have this All Mail feature. People need to know about it. It's M-A-I-L. Get your mind out of the gutter. Google's All Mail review. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after the news on the top of the hour. See, no headphone hair here.
No headphone hair here.
So I found out what frosted petticoat is.
What are frosted petticoats?
Doesn't that sound tempting, the frosted petticoat?
You bet.
Yeah. So they sent me something from the frosted petticoat. They sent me a little note that said, "We hear you like things with gears. Hi, Leo. A month or two ago, I heard you talking about steampunk gears on your radio show. Well, they're one of our specialties." This is Roberta from frostedpetticoat.com. And let's open it up and see.
Beautiful.
Oh, they got melted. Darn it.
Oh, they got
a little broken. But they do steampunk gear chocolates. Is that funny? Isn't that funny? They got a little smushed.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's not smushed. Look at that. That's cool. That's a neat mold. Wow. Let me just see how that tastes. Kilauea coffee. Here, Heather, you got the other one.
Steampunk.
All right. Now we'll let, while I melt, we'll let Scott take over.
I wish I was there. I'd chomp down a couple of those. We've been talking in the chat room about the Pioneer Speaker Bar. I think it was Rusty Bones who said that they actually discovered a problem with the Bluetooth. And the good news is that Pioneer, cops to it right away. They've got a notice on their website that says, hey, we know this problem. Contact us if you're having this problem and we'll fix it for you. So I really like that Pioneer, did that. They found a problem and they're fixing it. Web 1418 says the Pioneer speaker bar is a good replacement for the poor speakers on most HD TVs. It's got a strong subwoofer and convenient compared to a complete system, which is absolutely true. In fact, you're not going to believe this. Last week, I did a calibration, a private calibration for a customer who bought the 84-inch LG Ultra HD TV. which lists for $17,000.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Having bought a $10,000 TV, I really...
Exactly. Well, his is 84 inches and Ultra HD.
Oh, nice.
And what is he listening to? The Pioneer soundbar.
No, well, that's just stupid.
Well, he's just now moved into to the apartment
so
that
he's
in.
So he's going to get a better system.
He's going to get a better system. But for the moment, you know, he wanted something better than the TV had.
Well, yeah. Although you think at that price, a TV might have a decent soundbar built in.
No, 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 no. They're all about the picture.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He got a Pioneer soundbar at least to hold him over till he sets it up properly. So, and I had to applaud him for that. I said, yeah, that's the way to do it.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Absolutely. Yeah, Rusty Bones, did I wear a tuxedo when I calibrated it? That's good. No, but I did go at night because I prefer to calibrate at night. As I did, Leo, your OLED.
Yeah, I know. You unplugged my light. You couldn't figure it out. You couldn't figure out how to turn it off. I know. So you unplugged
it. I thought we plugged that back
in. Oh, I don't care. No, I figured it out. It goes on at sunset every night, which probably drove you crazy.
It did, yeah. Yeah. We couldn't figure out how to turn it off, right. So we just unplugged it.
That's fine. That's fine.
Dem90 asks if I have any thoughts on the Audio-Technica ATH-M50 headphones. I haven't tried those myself, but Audio-Technica is generally very well regarded, so I would think they would sound pretty darn good. The Heil headphones. Yes, these are the ones I'm wearing right now, Ken Crayley 20. I'm wearing the Heil Pro Set 3, I think they're called. Yeah, Pro Set 3. And notice I do have a little bit of headphone hair. Not I don't have much hair, so I can't have much headphone hair. But I like these quite a bit. They're very lightweight. Bob Heil is a great designer. They sound really good, and that's what I generally use because they sound good and they're lightweight, and that's the main thing. I sometimes use the PSBs. They really sound good. The PSB M4Us sound great, but they're heavy. And, you know, they're quality. They're high quality, so. what are the best over-ear headphones? Stealth Walrus asks. Well, that's a subjective question, really. I think the Pioneers are extremely good that I talked about before. The probably my favorites are the PSBs. But, you know, that is something that you need to go and listen to a bunch of headphones. And I would go to headfi.org and try to avoid the takeover ads. That's kind of a bummer. Or innerfidelity.com and try and find something called a headfi meetup in your area. Headphone hobbyists are really interesting people and they love to get together. And so they rent out a hotel, you know, conference area and set up a bunch of rooms with a bunch of demo systems. And you go from one to the next and you put the headphones on and you listen to them. And it's really cool. And it's a great way to find a pair of headphones that you really like. Because as I say, and as Leo said as well, it's a subjective thing. I mean, you can measure them, as he said. And Tyle Hertzens at innerfidelity.com does. But in the end, it's what do you like? You know, do you like listening to, do you like the bass to be emphasized? In which case you might like the Dr. Dre's or something else. You know, that's what I would say. You got to go listen to them. MADA 81 asks, what's a good set of speakers for a first time home theater setup? The Pioneer, I forget the model number, but it's the Andrew Jones designed speakers. Incredible. You can get a 5.1 speaker system for $500-$600, something like that. And you get a $500 or $600 receiver with them. And you're talking $1,000-$1,200 for the entire audio system that sounds really good. I mean, way beyond the $1,000 or $2,500 that you spent on it. So that is my absolute top recommendation for a speaker package. And if you already have a receiver, so much the better. But that there's no question in my mind about that at all. Weebs is asking Xbox or PS4? I have no idea. I'm not a gamer. I don't know those things at all. I don't know if the Xbox One, the new one coming out, plays Blu-rays or not. I know that the previous Xbox doesn't. In which case, I would go for the Sony, the PS3 or PS4, because I know it plays Blu-rays.
The Xbox One will have Blu-ray, I think.
Blu-ray, okay. Yeah. The PS4, I think, also will upscale to 4K or UHD.
Both will do 4K.
Neither has,
I don't think, the right HDMI yet. So I'm not sure how they plan to do that.
Well, and that's a whole sticky issue. My God, we spent all the podcast coming up with this coming Monday. We pre-recorded yesterday, and that's what we talked about with Mike Heiss, who's an industry consultant, really knows his HDMI. And HDMI 2.0, people are claiming, oh, yeah, we offer HDMI 2.0. They don't necessarily.
Yeah. Well, they have, like, it's built in. But
yeah, but it's
there's no standard yet, right? Or is
well, there is, but you need new hardware to meet certain parts of that standard.
Ah, okay. All right, got to run. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, cell phones, home theater, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Google's quarterly announcement, their earnings call this week, sent their stock through the roof. Google's stock worth more than $1,000 a share now. Unbelievable. Stock market was waiting to hear how Google was doing in a couple of areas. Of course, Google ad sales, the price per click was going down. But Google reported that the ad sales had gone up very healthily. And people were encouraged by that because, of course, that's really how Google makes its money. Google, you may think, is a search engine or offers Gmail or, you know, a variety of services. No, they're really an ad. Their business is selling ads. And their philosophy is, let's make the internet a great place to be, because the more you use it, the more money we'll make. Their third quarter revenue grew 12%. Revenue, $14.89 billion in 3 months. Profit, $10.74 a share. Now, no wonder people, the stock's going up, right? Not a surprise. But the really good news from Google's point of view was the mobile ad revenue was going up, too. This is something that's scaring Facebook. It's scaring Twitter. Twitter's about to offer stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Or is it NASDAQ? I think it's NASDAQ. But the thing that concerns everybody in these financial markets is everybody's going mobile. We don't search so much on the desktop anymore. We don't surf so much on the desktop anymore. We're on our portable devices so much more. And so very good news that mobile ad revenue is going up for Google. If you're a Google stockholder. Very good news. The rest of you probably couldn't care less. $1,000 a share. Now, I guess that's kind of meaningless, right? Because that's just, they could do a stock splitter, you know, split a couple of times and go down. Price per share could go down. That's not really that meaningful. Just makes it hard to buy. You know, you can, if you don't have $1,000 to buy a share. I don't own any tech stock, frankly. So I feel like that would be a conflict of interest. Then I couldn't really talk about these companies. Or there'd be the suspicion that perhaps I was trying to promote a company because it would help me financially. So just so you know, I don't get to participate in all the excitement. And I'm happy about that because, you know, I got to tell you, and don't listen to me for stock advice, but it's been my observation over many, many years that what goes up also comes down. And the problem is knowing what is going to do what when, and I'm not very good at that. So I told you this story once. Somebody drove up to an event I was doing, a radio station event I was doing in a Rolls Royce. And he came up to me and said, "See that car?" He said, you bought me that car. I said, "I did?" He said, "Yeah, this will give you an idea how long ago. You were saying how great zip drives were, zip discs were. So I looked up the company, iOmega, and I bought stock. And of course, at the time, the stock went way, way up. I said at the time, I hope you've sold it by now." And I was also right there because, as you know, I don't think iOmega is even around anymore. But that's what happens in the world of tech stocks. What, you know, MySpace was big and then it's gone. Yahoo was big and I don't know what it is now. Even Microsoft, its stock price has been flat, flat, flat. And I got to think it's not a great investment right now with the troubles Microsoft's having. Google's next. Nothing stays on top forever. Nothing stays on top. I'm not telling you to don't. I should not even get in this realm. I'm not telling you to sell your Google stock. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know anything about this stuff. Let's go on. Neil in Phoenix. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Neil.
Good morning, Leo. Thanks for having my call.
Thanks for calling.
Listen, I have a desktop that I built a couple of years ago, and it served me well. But, you know, I've been following your show for a couple of years, and I really enjoy it, by the way.
Thank you.
But what I was going to say was I noticed that I'm thinking rather that I overbuilt, if you want to look at it that way. I've built a machine that's probably more suitable for gaming, although I'm not a gamer. So I'm thinking...
Well, you know, if you build a high-end machine with great graphics, it'll be great for gaming, but it'll be great for anything else, too. You know, it's, it doesn't have to be a gaming machine.
No, but my point would be is I could do gaming. I'm not a gamer, but I could do
you
that.
You could, because you have enough power, right.
Right. But I was thinking that it's kind of overkill, so to speak. So I'm thinking whether I should replace it with something more suitable, say a laptop. You know, I think maybe it's time to kind of step down. I don't do that much work.
Well, you see this. Of course, this is the move. This is the direction all computing has moved to, is smaller, lighter, portable. And, in fact, it's moved beyond laptops now. Laptop sales also dying as people move to tablets.
Right. Well, I've got the Nexus 7 already that you recommended.
Isn't that nice? Do you like it?
It's great. Yeah, it's a great little device, my kind of my portable traveling device and so forth. And
lack of keyboard is what makes tablets less appealing. So if you need to type.
Right. Well, I do that sometimes. The only thing I've got is one of I had to give up on that game you were recommending a while back.
Your Simpsons tapped out?
I put it on the machine. I bought the device. I put that on there. And then when I heard your...
Electronic Arts owes me 1,000 donuts, baby.
So when I heard your what you said, I took it immediately off.
Get rid of it. Yeah, get rid of it. Please, don't get hooked on that. If you want to get hooked, Plants vs. Zombies 2 is coming to Android very soon now, and that will be a good game to get hooked on. Yeah. Yeah, don't get me started on Electronic Arts. I feel like they owe me donuts. I want my donuts. So laptops, you can't build. So if you still want to build it yourself, really, you got to build a desktop.
Exactly. But what I was actually I didn't watch one of your other shows before you buy. You know.
Yeah, we review them all the time, yeah.
And I saw your review of, say, the Asus Transformer book. Which
that's nice.
But I was somewhat disappointed because of what was said in there about the doesn't have the latest processor and so forth. So I'm thinking Asus Transformer book.
Well, here's the deal on these Transformers are good because they kind of leapfrog this tablet thing. They're a tablet, and you can click them into the laptop stand, and now they're a laptop. And so that's a nice balance, I think. I think the Transformers are excellent. If you get the latest, I guess our reviewer probably didn't like it because they lack the fourth generation Intel processor. They will have them soon, I'm sure, if they don't already. That was because the Haswell chips had just came out. You want the Haswell chip, the fourth generation Intel processor, because it has better battery life by about 50%, and it's faster. It's better in every respect. That's always the case, right? You know, everything's getting better and faster. It's not going to be the new chip in 6 months or a year, but that's how it works. The ideal when you're buying computer hardware, the ideal is to buy at the beginning of a new generation, presuming that the new generation works well. Now, this is in hardware, not software. Software is a little different. But in terms of Intel processors, I think it's a good idea to try to time your purchases with the release of, you know, the latest Intel processor. Now's a good time, in other words. So, yes, look for Haswell, or they'll call it Intel 4th Generation Core Processor. That's the long name. The code name is Haswell. In any laptop you buy, any portable you buy, because you're going to get better battery life. Desktop, it's not so important, but on a laptop, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would guess, and I'm going to check here, but I would guess that by now Asus has a Transformer that has the Haswell. If it doesn't, it will soon. And so that's worth waiting for. The nice thing about the Transformers is they're kind of they're really nicely made laptops that have that can be tablets too. But the bad thing about it, it's very confusing, the naming, and it's hard to know which one's the latest. Yeah, there is a yes. In fact, September 4th, they updated the Transformer with Haswell. So that's the one to look at, I think. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I want my MTV. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We just can't shut up Dire Straits. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. By the way, great website. Should remember this because we put links to everything I mentioned there. TechGuyLabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. James, our next caller from...
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Hey, how you doing? From Los Angeles. What can I do for you, James?
My computer's been running slow for the past couple of weeks, and what I've noticed is that, I mean, really slow, like where it takes forever to navigate around the Outlook. And when I go to log off, normally it shuts down really quick, but it said, you know, please wait installing, you know, three updates or one I do to don't unplug, don't turn off. And it seems to be running better this morning. I called a tech place, and they wanted to come over and run antivirus, anti-malware.
Yeah, the first presumption if your computer slows down is always, well, maybe there's something else going on that you don't know about that's using up CPU cycles. But there are many things, even more likely, that could cause slowdowns, including hard drive problems. Mm-hmm. If your hard drive, and this is the most common problem, period, mm-hmm. in all computing, a hard drive gets a little flaky. Maybe there's a sector, an area of the hard drive that needs to be read but can't be read readily. Mm-hmm. It takes a couple of tries. Well, that's enough to slow your computer down a lot. Mm-hmm. Computer will keep trying to read it a certain number of times, and you're sitting there waiting while it's doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's one of many things that can go wrong that are not harmful. Mm-hmm. I presume, and I'm going to ask you I feel like a doctor sometimes. Do you smoke? No, I presume that you update regularly.
It update.
Windows update. Do you have that turned on?
I've got that going.
Good.
I've got, that was going to be my next question. So I've got Nod 32 version 4.
That's good. Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about you then because you've got very good antivirus. You keep Windows up to date. Mm-hmm. The only other risk factor these days is third-party software you use on the internet, and that would be Adobe Reader, Flash, Java. Those are programs.
Yeah, you know, they have sent me some updates in the past.
Yeah, there was a big Java update just came out this week because there are 50, count them, 50 flaws in the current version or next to last version of Java that can be exploited without your knowledge.
Okay.
So that's a problem because if you have Java on your system and you really, unless you know you need it, you probably shouldn't. But if you have Java on your system, and you go to a website, it can silently run Java and run a malicious applet and get into your system without even knowing it. Do keep Keith in the chat room saying, no, it's not 50, Leo, it's 51. You're right, it's 51. I didn't want to go overboard. 51. So Apple also has updated its Java. Java you don't need in most cases. There are a few things. I just, for instance, I'm moving and I went on to Comcast's website. They have this super duper, you're moving, I just take it with you. And what do you have to use to chat to do this? Java. Companies like Comcast should immediately dump that. There's no need for it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I needed it. I had to. I didn't have Java installed because I take my own advice. I don't have it installed, but I did. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. You know, check Java, Adobe Reader, and Flash. Make sure you have the latest versions of that.
Yeah,
update Nod 32. You do have the old version of Nod 32. Might be worth getting version 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. Actually, version 7 is the latest. Did you say you have version 4? Somebody said that.
Yeah. Because I get the updates every day.
Right. I think it's paid to go. I think you have to pay to go to 7. I don't know, though.
Really?
Check that.
Now, if I've got that at Nod 32 Antivirus 4, do I need to get a separate malware or takes?
No. Takes care of that. Doing those things that I just talked to you about, running, make sure that you do Windows Update on the second Tuesday of every month automatically.
Yeah, I do that.
That you keep those third-party apps that you go online with. Notice I'm saying going online. For instance, if you use Java and you just use it to play Minecraft, that's fine. The problem is if you have it enabled in your browser, mm-hmm. then a bad guy can use a malicious web page to attack you.
Firefox just prompted me to reset stuff, so I did a Firefox reset.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Well, I did it. That's the other thing is, of course, keep your browsers up to date. Anything that goes on the internet must be kept up to date.
Yeah, and I don't do any downloading. I'm pretty boring, you know?
Yeah. If you're not going to sketchy sites, adult sites, sometimes are problematic, gambling sites, mm-hmm. if you're pretty good about, all I do is I go to Yahoo and weather.io or something. If you're not doing anything too...
I'm the kind of guy that when I get an email with a link, even if it's someone that I know, even if you sent me a link, I right-click, copy, paste, and go.
Good man. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you're... No, I think you don't have... I think it's unlikely that you have malware. It sounds like you're doing everything right. I think what you probably do have is a hard drive sector that's bad or something else that's bad. Is it running normally now or is it still a little sluggish?
It's been running good. The symptom that I've noticed, like I said, is that when I go to... Normally it takes a long time to load up because I have my old C on there and everything. But when I go to shut down, it's like, boom, it shuts down really quick. But recently, I know I'm sentimental, but recently it says, don't unplug or turn off installing updates. And so I go, okay. And then it would take forever to do. And then when I boot up, like I said, it would just take forever to click from email to email. And
yeah, it's working. It's doing something. Yeah. You might want to... check what's going on when it starts up. There's a great little program. You can get it from Microsoft. If you Google Microsoft Auto Runs, you download this little free program from SysInternals. It's a great little program. It'll tell you what starts up. You might look at that. It might be something starting up that's doing something, and it's taking time.
One final question. I confess that I'm one of those people that I really do have like 2,000 unread email on my Outlook.
2,000?
Yeah.
You're an amateur. I have 32,519.
Okay. 2,796.
Now, Outlook is an issue because Outlook keeps it all in one big Outlook.pst file.
Yeah.
And I would archive. I would turn on, you go into Outlook and turn on archiving on your folders. What it does is it separates it out into a separate PST file and keeps your PST file small. Oh. That doesn't lose any mail, but it does speed things up with Outlook.
How do I do that?
Right-click on a folder and select archive options. And I would say after 60 days, you should archive the mailers.
Okay, yeah. So right-clicking on my inbox.
On a folder, yeah, and then select archive options.
It doesn't show that.
Yeah, you might have to browse around. What version of Windows and Office are you using?
I've got XP.
Oh, it's pretty old. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I can't remember where it is in the older version, but it's really a good idea because if that PST file gets bigger, especially in XP, gets bigger than 2 gigabytes, it's going to stop working.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably going to try to get another computer this year. I've had Acer for really long time.
It's so, at that age, it's most likely that it's a hard drive issue.
But see, I did the hard drive like maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
I know.
You say that as if it was recently.
Well, I keep stuff until...
It feels recent for you, I understand.
I keep stuff until Fred Flintstone demands it back.
The other problem you're going to face, and you're going to want to get it upgraded before the spring, is that coming in March or April, Microsoft stops supporting XP entirely.
Oh, yeah.
And then you will no longer get updates, and you will be a very vulnerable boy.
And just go ahead and eat it and get 8, or should I hold off for 7?
I think you're stuck. At this point, I'll reiterate my advice, because it's tough.
Yeah.
8 is an interim operating system. It's not ready for prime time. You're participating in Microsoft's transition. And so it would be best to avoid going to 8. But if you're getting a new computer, that's pretty much your only choice. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. He's Johnny Jet, our travel guru. Hello, Johnny Jet, back in the home region of Los Angeles.
That's right. And I've got a question for you, I got a deal for you, and a website.
Either way, remember you did the interview with me and you asked me all those questions. Did that ever get up on the website?
You tell me.
I don't know. JohnnyJet.com?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely on there. Not the video portion, but the
I sent you
text.
An... Well, the video's on our site, of course. But I sent you an update because you asked me how many UNESCO World Heritage sites have you visited? Yes. And I had no idea. And I said, well, I don't know. And you said, I'm sure you visited quite a few. So I went through the list. I found an atlas, a National Geographic atlas with a list. I went through the list. 55. Is that a good number?
That's really good. 55.
On this last trip alone, because we saw the ruins and Greece and the Acropolis and Istanbul, I was in like 6 or 7 in this last trip alone. So
I have no idea how many I've been to, but I have a buddy, Gary Arndt. He's going to every single one.
That would be a great bucket list. So these are like, for one, for some reason, they're historical or they're culturally significant. And if you saw them all, I mean, there's things like the Iguazu Falls in Buenos Aires.
I've been there. I love that.
Beautiful place. So sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's just Istanbul.
the whole
yeah,
city.
The whole city.
Just one part.
Actually, I think it's the old town. And so it's really, it is a neat way to kind of make a list of places you should go. All right, I'm sorry. I just wanted to know if I sent you an email with the update. I just wanted to get that update.
I never got it, so you better resend it.
Oh, man. All right. So what's your question?
My question.
Yes.
So T-Mobile has now changed everything for me because I've been holding on to a BlackBerry.
Yes.
And the reason why I had the BlackBerry was for their international plan. And now that T-Mobile's announcing that free data
roaming in almost everywhere in Europe.
100 countries.
The thing you should be aware of, it's edge speed.
Well, it's slow, right?
It's not going to be super fast, but it's free.
That's what I love. And so what phone should I get?
Oh.
From T-Mobile.
T-Mobile has everything. Samsung? They have iPhones. They have all the Android devices. T-Mobile's got a great selection.
Have a Windows phone, but I can't. You know what?
If you get any unlocked GSM phone, you could put a T-Mobile SIM in. And they have very cheap plans, too. You can go as low as $30 a month data plan with, it's only 100 minutes of voice, but who makes calls anymore on T-Mobile? I think that is, for anybody who travels a lot, that's a no-brainer. You should have
a
T-Mobile phone.
I'm going to T-Mobile right after this call, so I want to know which phone I should get. Is it a Samsung?
So you have, right now you have a Lumia, huh?
I do. I had the new one, the 1020, which takes the most amazing photos, but it just doesn't have the apps. I can't use Uber. I can't use.
I see. So you're ready to get ready to ditch it. Well, then you should get an iPhone.
No, I'll keep it as a camera.
Get an iPhone.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they have HTC One, which is a beautiful phone. They have the Samsung Galaxy S4. You can get, you really want to go cheap. If you can wait a little bit, I think in the next couple of weeks, Google's going to release its Nexus 5, $329 unlocked.
T-Mobile?
And you just put a T-Mobile SIM in it.
I got you.
And those are great. And that'll have LTE support as well.
Can't wait anymore. This thing, I feel like a dinosaur.
No, wait. You're going to wait. All right. The LG G2, somebody's saying, that's nice, but it's a little weird with the buttons on the back. You'd have to play with it. I think any day now you're going to see a Nexus 5 on the Play Store, play.google.com. And it will be inexpensive, about $350 for a smartphone, a very good smartphone. I think that's a great choice. If you can't wait, get an iPhone.
All right.
You're an iPhone user. You like the iPhone.
My wife has it, but
all the apps that you talk about, they're always on the iPhone first.
Right. Okay.
So you kind of almost have to get an iPhone.
All right. I want to give a couple giveaways, takeaways for people. So one right now is having breakfast with this guy, the points guy, and he talked me into getting this Barclays Arrival World MasterCard. So they have 40,000 points they're offering for a credit card.
That's like two flights.
Well, actually, for this is actually kind of works on the point system, so it's $400 off your next trip. So however you do it. So if you want to book it on flights or hotels, it equals $400.
But Barclays, they're like a British bank. I don't even know who they are in America.
You know, I never knew who they were either until I had breakfast with this guy. And then I put it in my newsletter, and so many people got it because they're like, it's free money right now because the annual $89 annual fee is waived for the first year.
Okay.
And so all you have to do is spend $1,000 within 3 months.
Yeah.
And you'll get $400 off your next trip.
And you get purchase.
It's huge for that. So I just got it. I just got it the other day. Actually, I just took it out of the mail. Here it is.
All right. You're not getting paid by them in any way.
No, they do give a referral fee on my website, but you don't have to go to my website. Just go to BarclayCard and get it yourself.
Give Johnny a little referral fee. What the hell?
You don't have to. It's on my website, but honestly, that is such
okay,
a great
good
card.
Tip. BarclayCardArrival.com, BarclayCardArrival.com.
But if you have a credit card, you have to pay it off every month. Do not get these cards if you keep any kind of balance because you will
insane.
Get ripped off.
Yeah.
It's just make sure you pay your bills off.
I think you should also be careful about how many credit cards you have. I think that dings you a little bit too on your credit report.
Well, the trick all these hackers do, they sign up for 3 cards in the same week, so they only get dinged once. It only takes points off their credit.
And then cancel it after a year when they want their $80.
You can do that.
Yeah.
All right. So my website is privatewifi.com.
That sounds spooky.
Private Wi-Fi. It's a VPN. So okay. These guys sent me an email. They're like, listen, when you're flying on a plane, you can't do your banking. And I don't because it's wide open on these.
Oh, yeah. Flights. You're on the same network as everybody else on that plane.
Right. So they said, you know, you log on to this private Wi-Fi, which costs $9.95 a month or $84 a year, and you're completely hidden. So I wanted to ask you if that is true, which I believe it is because it's a VPN. And what I love about it is also when I'm out of the country and there's websites that you can't use, like if you're in China, you can't use Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or Skype in some countries,
yep.
That now you can use it. And you can watch movies that are back home that you can watch
That's
on your...
Right. There are a number of companies that do this. Hotspot VPN is another one. One of our advertisers, ProXPN. I've not heard of this one, Private Wi-Fi, but it looks like it's OpenVPN, which is the solution you want to use. That's great.
And is it a good price, $9.95?
Yes, that's pretty... Almost all of them are around that.
Okay.
That's $10 a month is typical.
Because I think it's important for travelers when they're traveling.
You bet. Because you'll often be going to as we did, we're in Greece, we go to a coffee shop for the Wi-Fi, right? Every in a tourist area, every restaurant, every coffee shop offers free Wi-Fi. But when you use that, you're really in an insecure situation. So absolutely the case.
And were you on a VPN the whole time?
Nope.
No?
No.
When I was just in Ireland, and they have...
I don't do what I say, not what I do.
Well, you know, I used to do that too, but now I'm pretty cautious. So when I'm on the plane, I love using GoGo in-flight Wi-Fi, but I want to make sure that I'm protected.
It's the same thing, right?
Yep.
I think if you're on GoGo, you're not only on this network with everybody on the plane, you're on everybody on the GoGo network.
Seriously?
Yeah. So you got lots of friends. Okay, you can tell, you know, if you launch iTunes, you can tell because you'll see all these other people's music collections and you go, oh, yeah.
So what are the other sites besides private Wi-Fi for?
Oh, there's a lot of them. Hotspot VPN is good. I've used that for a long time. Hotspot Our sponsor, VPN. ProXPN, is excellent. They're all roughly $10 a month, although they have annual plans, many of them, that will reduce that cost.
All right, I'm going to create a post on this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea. Very good idea to at least know about it. Yeah, and from when you travel, boy, I absolutely would use it. Yeah.
Oh, especially, you know, everyone goes to all the coffee shops. They go to Starbucks
right.
Or even in the club lounge in the airport. You can just
sure.
tell people are lurking.
Yeah, they're just sitting there waiting.
One of my friends did it. He showed how easy it is to break into someone's account. He went into their Facebook and saw all their private messages. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. JohnnyJet.com. That's the place to go. That's where Johnny puts all his tips, his tricks. He's a really good guy to know for great deals on travel and using technology to make travel better. Johnny, yeah, in fact, I think we could send you... You're not going to use that Nexus 4, are you, Heather? We'll send you the Nexus 4.
Really?
Until the Nexus 5 comes out. Yeah, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it works great with T-Mobile. Well, you don't want that anymore, Heather? You really had it with that?
I got to get you an iPhone. I was going to try it one more night, but I'll give it up.
I'm going to give you an iPhone. You can try it one more night, because we got to mail it to her. We got him. We got to mail it to
Johnny. So do I just take my BlackBerry SIM out and put it in?
Is your BlackBerry on T-Mobile?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, if it's the same size, which it probably is. Depends how old the BlackBerry is.
It's an old BlackBerry.
Yeah, it might be a full-size SIM. They've moved them down.
It is a full-size. Full size.
Just go to T-Mobile. They'll give you a cut-down one.
Okay.
And then you can use this until the Nexus 5 comes out, but you will want the Nexus 5, I think. This will give you a good idea of what since Natalie has an iPhone, it's probably a good idea for you to have an Android phone.
Well, that's what I was planning on getting an Android. Buddy says a couple of my friends need to get an Android.
I love Android. So you keep that for another day, and then, Johnny, we got to get – do we have your email? It's email me your mailing address.
I'll do it
and
right
we'll
now.
FedEx it out to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And you could keep that one. So if you don't want to go to the Nexus 5, you can just keep that one.
Is it a big difference between the 4 and the 5?
Yeah, there will be.
Okay.
The reason I like the Nexus is because Google basically charges – these are the least expensive full-fledged smartphones out there.
Okay.
$350 for the 16 gig is an amazing price.
I like the Lumia phone, but it just doesn't have the apps.
Right.
And it drives me nuts. You know, people are like, hey, and I'm writing about these different apps. I can't even use them on my phone. I have to use Natalie's phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, that's kind of the issue, too, with Android. I mean, a lot of the apps come out on iPhone that, like, Uber, I guess. I mean, they always start on the iPhone, you know.
Right.
All right. Good deal. So, Heather, keep using that for another day. Tomorrow we'll get it from you. We'll mail it out on Monday.
All right. And next week, do you want to talk about, like, cheap Thanksgiving flights?
I'm actually writing
a post right now on how to get the cheapest Thanksgiving
flight. Perfect.
It's some of the same material we used before, but.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
So, Heather, I think we're getting you an iPhone. I think I'm stuck getting you an iPhone.
Sorry.
I'm committed. No, no, that's fine. And what carrier you're going to go on? You're going to stay with AT&T or do you want to go to Verizon?
What are my options?
Who are these people in the chat room? Do we have a bunch of Christians suddenly in the chat room? God's last name is not damn, Leo. How would you like it if I used your name as a cuss word?
Who said that?
Jerks.
So someone called during the show. It was an 800 number. I hope you weren't expecting anything.
Yeah, they called me too. I don't know.
It was probably Restoration Hardware.
It probably was, yeah.
So that said, I did not know how to, in fact, answer it.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, you swipe. You know what? It's not obvious. You have to swipe from right to left. It's not obvious.
Oh, yeah. I was poking.
Yeah. You don't poke, you swipe. You know, that is a big problem on the goddamn T-Mobile. I mean, Android. You're just begging me to keep doing that. You understand that. There is no God. You do know that, right?
Uh-oh. Don't go there. Did you?
If there's a God, strike me dead right now.
Love it.
Please.
Love it.
Strike me dead.
Hey,
damn it.
Did you hear what Oprah said last week?
Oh, I hated that. Trying to talk Diana Nyad into being a non-atheist.
Oh, okay.
Was that what you're talking about? What else did she say?
I didn't hear the whole thing, just that she said that atheists don't experience awe and wonder. And I was like, oh,
such BS.
She
was talking to Diana Nyad, who said, well, I don't believe in God, but I am amazed and awed by life in this planet and humans. And she said, oh, well, then you're spiritual. Then you do believe in God. No. She tried to talk her into it.
Oh, she makes my head hurt. I've always hated her, and now I really want her.
Actually, I love Oprah, but that was kind of inappropriate. But that's all right. I understand. We'll talk about it later. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, Ask Leo. I went through this last year. My son, who's now a freshman at CU Boulder, used what's called the Common App. A lot of high school seniors using it right now to apply for colleges. It's a great idea, a single application that many colleges accept. You don't have to fill out, you know, separate applications. Unfortunately, this seems to be endemic or epidemic right now. Websites that just don't work. The Common App is having all sorts of problems. They're calling it Application Armageddon. There have been issues, according to the dean for enrollment at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, with being able to import the application itself, with receiving the supplemental materials like transcripts or letters of recommendations. In other words, colleges aren't getting what they're supposed to be getting, which means that high school seniors may be overlooked. Their applications may not arrive. Other serious technical problems include payments that take days to register, registering duplicate payments. Other students complain they can't log in. Others were logged off after waiting hours to submit. And then, if you've had that happen. I've had it. Many of us have had that happen on lots of websites. You fill out a long form. You press submit. Nothing happens. You wait. And then it says you're logged off and you have to do it all over again. If you look at Twitter, if you search for Common App on Twitter, you'll see things like, I'm freaking out, the Common App isn't working. This is such a stressful thing, applying for college anyway. But to add this, not sure what's going on either. The Common Application says it's committed to resolving these issues promptly. Is it a new? I guess it's a new system they must have put in. This is what's happening. It happened with the health exchanges too, didn't it? A Canadian company called CGI was responsible for creating the government health exchange site. And what a mess that's been. CGI was originally paid. If you think you paid a lot for your website, I guess we all paid a lot for this website. It's glitchy. It doesn't work. And the cost of doing it has more than doubled. I'm seeing if I can find the actual numbers because they're mind-boggling.
We originally, I think it was budgeted for $45 million for this website. How much did you pay for yours? I thought $100,000 was a lot. $45 million to set up and maintain the U.S. Health Exchange site, the government health exchange site. CGI is saying, well, the problem is the government kept changing it. More states got on board and started to use the national site. And all these changes have really, anyway, the expense went from $45 million to $192 million. $192 for a website. And it, and by the way, one that doesn't work. One that doesn't work. And you thought your website was expensive. Holy cow. It seems to be going on a lot. Now, I think one of the things that's happening, to be fair, is that we're a little spoiled with our experience of Facebook and Google and these companies, these massive companies. Facebook has a billion users and is very reliable, very robust, works pretty well. But it's not easy. It's a hard thing to do. And there are plenty of other sites that just don't scale that well. That's what we call in the biz, scaling. Works fine when 100 people use it, in testing when 1,000 people use it, but then you put it out in the real world and 100 million people try to use it and the thing just doesn't work. Unfortunately, it's costs us. And it makes, you know, the healthcare exchange less than useful for a lot of people. It's kind of appalling. Kind of appalling. And it seems that we could do a lot better. The province of Ontario fired CGI and is suing them for doing a terrible job with their website. Maybe somebody in the GAO might have checked into this company before we signed up to spend $192 million on a non-working website. Jay Spin said, I would have done it for $100 million. Scaling's hard. To be really honest, this is a very hard thing to do. You know, you see this all the time. Sites go down. If I mention a site on the air, most sites go down. It's very hard to build a site that can handle that kind of traffic. And so when you get really millions of people hitting a site all at the same time, it's hard. Look at Twitter. For years, Twitter did not work, you know, the fail whale, right? But we're spoiled a little bit because we see Facebook and we see how well Facebook handles traffic. We see Google, how well Google. Those companies are doing amazing things, mind-boggling things. Chuck is in Southern Tennessee. Hi, Chuck. Leo Laporte, yeah. The tech guy.
Yeah, hi. Hi. Leo. I got a problem here. Don't have any problem with Windows 8. I got a problem with Windows 7.
Okay.
Now, my Windows Media Center, the sound quit working on it.
Well, that could be so many things, Chuck. It's very hard for me to do that kind of tech support from here, because it could be so many things, everything from the wires to your speaker falling out or being frayed, bad speakers. It could be the sound card having a problem. Most likely it's sound drivers involved. It could also be that you're looking at a video that the sound is encoded in a way that you can't decode. This is not unusual when you download. Here, one way to check this, Untoward has a good idea. There's a free program that will play back videos called the VideoLAN Client. You can get it at videolan.org. It's free, VideoLAN.org. Everybody should have a copy of this just in case anyway. See if that video you're trying to play without sound on Media Center plays back okay on that. If it does, well, then you know your speakers and your cabling and everything's okay. It's just that Media Center can't understand the file. That's something you can do. Troubleshooting involves basically going through the easy stuff first, and then, but you're trying to eliminate possibilities. So if VLC, also no audio, now maybe it is the speakers or the cable. So what I would do is get some headphones, plug them into the audio jack on your computer, see if you can hear it there. If you can't, that eliminates everything outside of your computer. It means that either the sound card's bad, the drivers are bad, the interaction between Media Center and the sound card is bad. You might try updating Media Center. You might try updating your sound drivers. On most computers these days, there aren't separate sound cards. Yours may be different, but most computers, the sound board is on the motherboard. It's part of the computer's main circuit board. So there may not be separate audio drivers, but you should go to the manufacturer of your computer's site, make sure you have the latest software for that computer. Sometimes it'll say a motherboard driver. Sometimes it'll say sound card driver. All of that, all of these can be part of the problem. It's impossible for me, I'm sorry to say, to tell you exactly what's wrong. Because as you can see, there's so many. But this is the step. And anytime you have a problem with a system, this is the kind of logical process you want to go through, the troubleshooting process. And I always do the easy stuff first. Check the cables. That's easy, right? Download VideoLAN client, VLC. Play the video through there. See if you hear it. Can you hear sound otherwise on other programs? If you can, then it's not the speakers, the cable, or the sound card. It's something interacting with Windows Media Player. You get the idea? Hey, thanks for the call. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. If you go to omnialert.com, that does work as well, but it's notice it's spelled omnialert.com. It's interesting. I found out that my son's school uses OmniAlert. Petaluma High School uses OmniAlert. It is a notification platform that lets organizations communicate during, I want to say emergencies, certainly emergencies, but anytime there's a situation you need to communicate, OmniAlert is great. Schools use it for snow days. It could be that. 7.5 million people, 15,000 organizations use OmniAlert, the perfect solution to their critical communication needs. It is not just text messages, by the way. You can, with a simple cloud-based interface, you can trigger text messages, phone calls if you want, emails, even desktop alerts, and more. In fact, OmniAlert is so flexible. It's gotten so good. They can even update web pages, so you can have a special page that goes up. Social media, even digital signage, countless other devices and services used by hospitals, by fire departments, emergency services to replace one-way pagers. Universities and colleges, as I mentioned, use OmniAlert for things like reporting campus crimes. When we had the floods in Boulder, that's how they let the students know, stay away from the streams. K through 12 schools use it for everything from automated attendance calls to reporting lockdowns or letting parents know about snow days or head lice. Sports teams use it, community groups, to cancel and postpone events. You don't know when you're going to need it, but you'll be glad you have it. Peace of mind with 2048-bit SSL extended certs, so you know it's a secure site. You can administer it from anywhere because it is cloud-based, from a desktop, a smartphone, a tablet, and there's no software. You just log into your OmniAlert account. You can import users from your existing system easily or from an address book. You can even let users opt in via text message. OmniAlert. They invented the world's first campus emergency notification system, and it's now the leading brand. Red Cross uses it, UNICEF, DuPont, Pratt & Whitney, Mazda, Philips, Bayer, Cal Poly, and yeah, the Petaluma High baseball team. That should be enough for you, right? very, very good retention, too. 98% of OmniAlert customers renew their service every year. That means they're doing their job right. We use it at TWIT for emergencies. If our servers go down, you can use it, too. Free. For the first 2 weeks, and then 20% off your first year when you visit omnialert.com/twit and use the offer code TechGuy. Free for 2 weeks, 20% off your subscription for the first year, omnialert.com/twit. Use the offer code TechGuy, one word. Thank you, OmniAlert. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. It's time to talk about computers and the internet, home theater, cell phones, all that jazz. 8888. Ask Leo is the number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Website, techguylabs.com. You can use that to get answers to your questions. We've got all the previous shows on there, audio and video. We've got questions and answers there. And, of course, as I talk today, James DeRuvo's writing it all down, putting up notes on the website. So the links I mentioned and so forth will all be there. And then Josh goes in from our office and he works on it and polishes it up, adds the audio, the video, divides it up into question and answer segments so you can jump right to the question you want. It's all free. TechGuyLabs.com. Your comments appreciated. If you've got a better idea, thought, if you're unhappy with my answer and you want to fix it, that's the place to do it. Everybody can see it then. TechGuyLabs.com. You'll also find a link there to our great chat room. Lots of people in there. That's also a good place to go if you want to have some fun. We moderate it heavily, so it's safe for kids. And you can participate kind of in the, it's like the kids in the back of the class talking about what I'm talking about. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number, 888-827-5536. Back to the phones we go with Travis in Los Angeles. Hi, Travis. He's running over. Here I come. I'm here.
Hello.
Hi, Travis.
How you doing, Lee?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
What I was calling about was, I have a cable internet service.
Okay.
And, I wanted to try DSL, so I'd heard a lot about DSL Extreme.
Okay.
Anyway, I go to their site. Anyway, I ordered the service and all that. And then they send me an email telling me that in order for me to get DSL Extreme, that I have to get an AT&T phone.
Yeah, so DSL comes in over the phone line.
Yeah.
So do you not have telephone service in your house?
No, I use Skype.
Yeah, so you can get... Now, so what you're going to be looking for, and this is what's hard to get, is something called dry loop phone service. In other words, the phone company thinks in these terms. We put two copper lines into your house. We did that in 1928 and or whenever your house was built. And over those copper lines, we offer phone service. All well and good. If you would like to add internet service on top of those copper lines, we can do that. The phone company would love it if you would get your service from them, because AT&T, Verizon, all the companies offer their own internet service. But the Federal Communications Commission requires them to open those lines up to third-party internet service providers. You can't do that on cable for some reason. FCC decided, no, we're not going to make cable do that, but we are going to do that with the phone company. So these phone companies hate this, but they do it. They have to. It's by law. But they may not be cooperative. And one of the things they tend not to cooperate on is this idea of dry loop. In other words, you don't want to pay them a penny. You don't even want to pay them for phone service.
Pretty much.
You just want to use their copper. Well, they hate that. Yeah. So you have to call, and I'm sure DSL Extreme told you this. If they didn't, they should have. You have to call AT&T and not say, I want phone service, but I want dry loop.
Mm-hmm.
And they are supposed to give you that. They're supposed to give you that, but they may not make it easy.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I use an independent internet service provider like DSL Extreme is because I don't want to deal with a phone company, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because the easiest thing is to say, give me everything, AT&T. I'll let you. I'm yours. Yeah. I give up.
Well, I tried AT&T first, and I got all the way through the process, except for one last little thing. They wanted me, because you need our router, and we need $99.
See, that's what you don't want. That's their internet service. You don't want it.
No.
Call them. You got to call them. You're not going to be able to do this online. You got to call them. You're going to have to. It's going to be. They're obligated to do it. They're not obligated to make it fun. So you're going to have to, go now. Dr. Mom's making a very good point, which is that, and this happened with Verizon, is Verizon went around and put Fios glass optical fiber into homes. They frequently would cut the copper, saying, well, you don't need this anymore. And it's convenient because now you can no longer get anything from anybody else except Verizon. They own it all. So one hopes that the copper is still coming into your house, that you have phone jacks that are actually wired to the network. They're not doing anything right now. But you've got to order dry loop and have that before you can get internet service over DSL Extreme or any DSL, third-party DSL provider. DSL Extreme should help you with this. I would call them back and say, hey, look, I don't have it. Can you help me get dry loop? It's in their interest. But they understand better than anybody how hard phone companies make this. <It's> Oh, what a world, what a world. Really, we're at a disadvantage in the United States because we have the oldest installations, right? We had phones before anybody else. We had cable before anybody else. We had the internet before anybody else. So we have the oldest infrastructure. And as a result, in most cases, you really don't have a lot of choice in terms of internet service. The FCC has given cable companies a monopoly, so you have one cable company, if any. You have 0-1 cable companies working your house. You have one phone company. They have a monopoly working your house. And your internet service has to go through one of those two, unless you can get somebody else to run fiber out there or to do something else. It's crazy. It's crazy talk. But this is the way it is. Bernie in Lafayette, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Bernie. By the way, Baba is telling us in the UK, there is no dry loop. They don't offer it. You have to have working phone service if you want to get DSL, period. So at least regulators have protected us in that way. Are you there, Bernie?
Yes, I am. Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome. What can I do for you?
Please thank Heather for taking my call. I appreciate it.
I will.
I have a question about TrueCrypt. I have a MacBook Air and an iMac with SSD drives. I'm using FileVault, but listening to Steve Gebson and you, actually, it's not that really safe. So how do I boot my computers directly into TrueCrypt?
Great question. So let me explain what's going on here. Bernie wants to scramble the contents of his hard drive so that only he can see them. Both Windows and Macintosh offer built-in operating system ways to do this. Windows calls it BitLocker. Apple calls it FileVault. It's very easy. You know, it's built into the operating system, so you just say, I want whole disk encryption. The disk is then encrypted. And it's a great idea, especially if you travel. You know, because if you lose a hard drive, even if you've got it locked, you know, even if you have to give it a password, a bad guy, once he gets physical possession of it, could open it up, take out the hard drive, put it in another operating system, and then examine the contents unless you've scrambled it. So I always turn on, actually I use on FileVault on the Macintosh, but there's something to be aware of. When you're using these kinds of systems, it's often preferred to use an open source system as opposed to a proprietary system. And here's the reason. We're starting to learn this, that the National Security Agency in the United States, the NSA, and other law enforcement officials have been very aggressive about, in effect, subverting companies like Microsoft and Apple to put a back door into their encryption so that law enforcement can look at your stuff even if you've encrypted it. When it's proprietary, there's no way of knowing if this has happened. We can only guess. Maybe Microsoft and Apple have put a backdoor in for law enforcement. Maybe they haven't. We just don't know. And the way it works, thanks to the Patriot Act, is even if they did, they couldn't tell us. So the only way you can have full disk encryption and know that it's not compromised, because by the way, if there's a backdoor for government, hackers can find it and use it too, is to use open source. That's TrueCrypt, and I'll talk about that when we come back. Now, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. So we were talking about full disk encryption, a great idea. I use it. Scramble your stuff so that bad guys who get a hold of your hard drive can't see it, so that if you're worried about government can't either. It's easiest to use the built-in Windows or Macintosh encryption, FileVault or BitLocker. That's the easiest. But we don't know how secure it is because it's never been checked by any outside party. So there's a third choice, which is open source. It's called TrueCrypt. It works on Windows, Mac, and Linux. TrueCrypt. TrueCrypt.org. And it also has whole disk encryption. It has all sorts of features, frankly, that Windows and Macintosh lack. And it's open source, which in theory means that anybody can look at the code before they use it and verify that there's no governmental backdoor, there's no hacker backdoor, there's no way anybody could decrypt it. Now, actually, it's kind of an interesting story there because just recently, I think this week, the folks at TrueCrypt have decided to have an audit of their software. It's actually, I think, a third party that is trying to raise money on Indiegogo for a full audit. And you could support this. If you use TrueCrypt, I think it's probably a good idea. I'm going to put in some bucks. They've raised more than their goal, $27,000, to do this. It would be an independent third-party audit of the TrueCrypt software. Even if it's open source, that's not a guarantee that anybody's looked at it.
So they raised money to have an independent, reliable third party review it and verify that it, in fact, does what it says it will do, that it's using strong encryption, and that there is no backdoor, that kind of thing. And also would do some other things like get it a better license and so forth. It's really good. It's a very good idea. Makes TrueCrypt even better. But even before this happens, I trust TrueCrypt. It's open source. And people have looked at it. And it's very unlikely that a government would attempt to put a backdoor in there since anybody could see it and go, hey, you see that? That's a government backdoor. It'd be very hard for them to do that without anybody noticing. So I do use TrueCrypt. Now, read the TrueCrypt. Of course, your question, which is how do I make it unboot, is a little beyond the scope of this program. And it is possible. It's very easy to do. In fact, when you set up whole volume encryption on TrueCrypt, you will unlock it when you boot and have access to it. It'll look just like a normal hard drive. It'll operate for all intents and purposes as if it isn't encrypted. But then when you log out or shut down the machine, it is encrypted and no one can read it. And I do recommend it. I think it's a good idea. Very good idea. TrueCrypt.org. And it's free, which I like too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Susie's in Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, Susie.
Well, hi.
Well, hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for waiting. What can I do for you?
Yes, I am on the side of technologically challenged.
Okay.
And I am looking for a tablet. This will be my first tablet. But I need something that's an e-reader. I need something for games for the grandkids. I need something for web browsing. And I want, and I've been looking at all the different types, and I want to know some of the differences and what I'm looking at and a good price range.
I would say, you know, you can get a very good tablet like the Google's Nexus 7 for $229. But I would say that for you, for what you just described, you've got to get an iPad. An iPad is the creme de la creme of tablets. A little more expensive, starts at $500, but you get what you pay for. All the best software is available for it, especially kids' software. It's easy to use. It's dominant in the industry, so you know that it will be well supported by websites you visit, by the outside world. Is there an Apple store? You're in Appleton? Yeah, I think there's an Apple store nearby. There ought to be in Appleton.
Yes.
They provide great training and support. It's a little more expensive, but I think it's worth the extra price. Now, I would wait, Susie, because on Tuesday, Apple's going to announce the new iPad, and you don't want to get the old one. Well, you might. What you might say is, oh, well, look, the old one's still pretty good, and now they're discounting it $100. That's likely that they'll do something like that. But I think you absolutely want an iPad. Now, do you have internet access in your home?
Yes, I do. I have Wi-Fi.
Okay. Because then you don't need to get the more expensive. It's $129 more for 3G, so you'd hook it up to Verizon or AT&T or somebody. You don't need that. Just use the Wi-Fi. That's the $500 version. I think you'd be very happy.
Now, what about the difference? I was looking at the Kindle, the Fire, the HD and the HDX, are those options?
They are options. The Kindle HDX is amazing. It's a great deal, and it's a great – and, you know, Apple's kind of got a little bit of a problem because both Amazon and Google can sell their hardware for cost because they don't make money. They don't need to make money on the hardware because they're going to make money when you buy Kindle books, Kindle movies, Google movies. You know, they make their money when you use it. In fact, that's exactly what Amazon said. We don't have to make money on the device. We make money when you use it. So the Kindle Fire HDX is $379. Now, I got to tell you that is an 8.9-inch. It's smaller. It's kind of in between the iPad mini and the full-sized iPad, which is 9.7 inches. That makes a difference. The Kindle software is, I think, not quite as polished as the Apple software. It's interesting because the HDX price is not so much lower than the iPad price that I'd really recommend it. I think I'm still thinking iPad. You'll be happy you got it. It's maybe $100 more. It's worth it.
I'm used to an Android. I'm an Android user.
Yeah, you know what? Well, that's interesting. Then that does. Okay, so you have an Android phone, huh?
Yes. I do. I have an HTC.
Yeah. So the Kindle Fire, while it's running on Android, you'd never know it. Amazon has highly customized it, so it's its own thing.
That means you cannot run all the apps that are available on Android on it. Because you have to use the Amazon store, not the Google Play store. The Nexus 7, which is less expensive, all of these, including the iPad, have the Kindle software. So you can read Kindle books on all of them. So that's not an issue.
Quality?
Yeah, the screen quality, yeah. Well, in fact, I think the next iPad probably be even better. But I think unless you're super price sensitive, like that $100 is going to kill you, I would spend a little bit more and get an iPad. I really would. You sound like you're resistant, in which case I'd look at the Kindle Fire HDX, very nice. You might want to look at the Nexus 7, which is purer. So, but generally speaking, unless you have no otherwise, I really have to say the iPad is the way to go. It still is the way to go. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Disagree? Go to the website. Give us your reasons for choosing another. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Were you a Duran Duran fan?
Do not Heather, that in the past tense.
You still are.
Oh, yeah. Mm. They're very yummy.
Okay, moving on. Todd and Elisa Viejo, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Hey, Todd.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. So here I am in sunny Southern California.
Mm.
And I just got my Alienware laptop, the 18-inch, the new one.
Awesome.
Which I'm very happy with. And here's what I want to do.
How much did you pay for that Alienware, if you don't mind my asking?
Okay. Well, here's the deal. I was really considering building a desktop computer.
Right.
Fire-breathing raw power. However, I decided to go with the laptop.
Because the 18-inch is so cool-looking and is practically a desktop.
Exactly. It's my desktop replacement. So there you go.
How much does it weigh? I mean, it's pretty heavy, right?
It's my shoulder workout, so yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that what these are really designed for is LAN parties. I mean, so Alienware is owned by Dell now, but they make gaming computers, gaming laptops. And when you say gaming, I mean, I think that there's no compromise on this laptop, which makes it heavy, poor battery life. But you never run it really unplugged. The idea of it being portable is you take it to your LAN party as much as anything else.
And that's exactly right. And that's really going into it. That's what I was looking for.
Good.
And understanding the fact that, back in the day, I would build my own desktop. I'm over that now. So
yeah, these days you don't really save money building a desktop. You incur all sorts of liability because you're the only guy that can fix it, since it usually has parts from a variety of sources. On the other hand, you get exactly what you want. But I don't see any real advantage. It's really more for fun that you would do it as a hobby than because you're trying to save money or anything like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So here's where I'm at with what I want to do is I have three beautiful Apple Cinema displays, a 30-inch.
Awesome.
Which has the DVI connector on them, right?
Important, because if you have Thunderbolt, you're going to have a hard time using it. Okay, good. So you have the DVI connect, the older one.
Right, the older connector, the DVI. So what I was looking at was, by the way, I hooked it up in my Alienware, which has dual SLI NVIDIA video cards on board.
Oh, wow. And a laptop. Wow.
All right. It's a beautiful thing. So what I did is I hooked it up, and its native display resolution is 1280 by 800 on the 30-inch. And doing some research, I looked at Matrox triple head to go.
Yeah.
And so my question is, am I running 1280 by 800 because I don't have the adapter to support the...
that's a good question, because it should. That's a very low resolution. Especially for an 18-inch display. I'm surprised. They probably made that choice so that it would have faster frame rates. But on a big external display, you should be able to run it at a higher resolution. And I'm not sure why you can't.
Right. Well, the built-in LCD panel is at high res at 1920 by 1080.
Oh, that's how it should be. Okay. So, but when you connect an external panel, it doesn't go at that resolution?
Correct. And I think it's due to mini DisplayPort, and that's my question.
No, Mini DisplayPort can go much higher.
You're right. So do I need something to drive it, meaning like an external device?
No, it's digital to digital. I think
Oh, okay. Is it dual link? Is the Apple Cinema Display dual link? I think it is. So it is. There is a hardware mismatch there.
Okay.
So, boy, you got me. I'm not sure. Chat room, do you have some ideas? This is a kind of unusual situation. You're trying to run Apple hardware, which is designed really just to run with Macs. I'm sure you can do it with the PC. By the way, notice that they're shipping this with Windows 7, not 8, huh?
Actually, I got mine with 8 on purpose because I know I've heard a lot of people say, oh, my God, 8. Well, you know what? I embrace Windows 8.
All right. To the future.
And I absolutely love it. I'm an IT manager, and what I deal with is anything from Windows XP Service Pack 3 all the way up to Windows 8. And I really like Windows 8.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. Good choice, then.
So I'm thinking,
it doesn't have a touch screen, so you're kind of a little bit at a disadvantage. But so it sounds like you need dual-link DVI.
Yes, I think that's the right path.
So Apple makes a mini DisplayPort to dual-link adapter, which you should buy.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah. That's the chat room's conclusion.
Very good.
And then it will run at an even higher resolution than you're running on your built-in display.
There you go.
How do you like 8.1?
You know, I really do enjoy it. And the funny thing is people get confused about the whole start button issue and Windows 7 traditional.
Yep.
But even without a touchscreen, if you hit the start button, you can actually search for your app right away.
Right. You just start typing.
Exactly. And, I mean, come on. We got to embrace change, people.
Good luck. Hey, great to talk to you. Thanks, Todd. Take care. Bye-bye. Our show today brought to you, here's one change you don't want, losing your entire hard drive and everything on it. That's a change that's not good. This is the way to avoid that particular change. Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous backup. Whenever you're online, it's encrypted, it's secure. You can access your backup anytime you log on to a Carbonite account on any computer or use their smartphone apps, and there's your stuff. And if disaster happens, you click the button and it's all back. Oh, I love Carbonite. I really, especially on a laptop, but anytime. And in a business, they've got a business plan too, by the way. Losing your data is more than a disaster. It could put you out of business. So check it out. Carbonite.com, Mac or PC, starts at $59.99 a year for everything on a single computer. They've got plans for small businesses, for servers, the whole thing. Just go to the website, read it, check out, get the plan you want. Use my name, Leo. You'll get 2 weeks free without a credit card. And if you decide to buy, you'll get 2 additional months with your purchase, all because you use my name, Leo. So please do that. You got to back it up to get it back to it right. With Carbonite, John in Santa Clarita, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I have a question that's probably unusual. You may not have had this one before, but we'll see.
Okay.
I had a Dish service for my TV.
Yeah.
And I'd had it for some time, and in the process of subscribing to Dish, I had 3 receiver failures. And so I finally said, that's it. But and I was getting rid of it, and it's going to go to Direct. But I had recorded a number of shows on an external hard drive. And, of course, they have a proprietary hard drive format. Now I have DirecTV, and they have the ability to have an external hard drive as well. I'm wondering, is there any way that someone could tell me how to transfer those files from Dish to Direct through some kind of protocol, you know, a transfer program?
So in the early days of this DVR, digital video recorders, TiVo, was not the first, but one of them. Replay was around, too. This stuff was just stored on the hard drive in a fashion that, with a little effort, you could get and read and store. Mm-hmm. But the problem is Hollywood realized this was the ideal way to pirate stuff. Because you're recording it digitally from a digital signal, making a perfect digital copy. They don't like that at all. So they put a lot of pressure. They put Replay out of business. They sued Replay out of business. And they put a lot of pressure on the other guys to make sure they encrypt this stuff. And they do. It may be possible to decrypt it. Never doubt the power of a motivated hacker community. And they're very motivated. The best place to go to find out how to convert the external drive format of a Dish DVR to a DirecTV DVR would be to go to avsforum.com.
How do you spell that?
AVSforum.com and search there. That's where all the guys hang out who know how to do this stuff. It may not be possible. I'm not saying it is, but if anybody knows, they will. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. He's here. Dick D. Bartolo, the birthday boy. Bring it in. We've got a gadget for you. Jeff Needles purchased this. It is a cake. Now, how do I light it?
So we have
to.
What?
Apparently, it shoots sparks 15 feet in the air or something.
Oh, my word. Right. Oh, whoa.
So
what do
mad.
I do?
You light the match.
Light the match. Okay.
And, you know, knowing Jeff, I know that.
Light the punk.
As soon as you light it, someone is going to bring one of those into my studio here in New York. I just know.
Wouldn't
that's
be cool?
Happen.
Here we are in California. Now the
what do you mean, wouldn't it?
Do we have a sprinkler system in here? Because is this going to set off? We hope not. How could it be that dangerous? All right, I'm lighting the candles. So according to these candles, you are 7 years old. Congratulations. Right.
Every petal of the tulip has a birthday candle, which Leo is lighting.
I'm lighting. Yeah, why don't you do the play-by-play as I burn my eyebrows off.
Okay, now a fuse has lit. The fuse is going down.
Now I light the middle.
Holy
cannoli.
The
petals are opening. Look at opened.
Oh, my word.
It's a birthday tulip for you, Dick. And,
wow.
And I have to thank you, Greg, for standing by with the fire extinguisher.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
After all the candles lit, a sparkler went off inside the middle of
the
tulip.
Isn't that cool? And then the tulip opened. The petals opened.
And the tulip opened. Amazing.
What's the name of this thing? Do we have the... packaging?
Explodo cake.
Isn't a girl supposed to jump out now?
It'd be a very tiny girl.
The world's smallest girl.
I'm going to blow. Here, Dick, you blow because it's your birthday and you got to make a wish. Go ahead. Ready?
Go. One, ready, two. Set. Close up on the cake.
Okay.
Ready,
okay.
Set.
Wait a minute. Hold
and...
on. Wow. Whoa.
That's
you blew
Skype.
You blew
you
that out.
Cannot,
no, that's the fidelity of Skype.
You know what? I paid for Skype.
Skype.
Blow-o-vision. Yeah.
3,000 miles away, he blew out his cake. This is the birthday fountain. Jeff Needles got this for you. Central sparkler surrounded by eight. Count them, eight birthday candles.
Oh, okay.
Candles.
Oh, so it can go on any cake. Oh, it's great.
Oh, yeah. It's not with the cake. It's petals unfold and open out with lit candles. Wait a minute. It's supposed to rotate and play Happy Birthday. Oh, it's playing.
A defective one?
It's not very loud.
Oh, there it goes.
And if we keep playing it, we're going to have to pay a bill to Time Warner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
It's right. Not exactly a loud. I didn't even notice it was playing until I read the copy on the box and found out it was supposed to be.
That's very funny. Well, Becky's here in the studio. Actually, she just left the studio to go buy five of those for a friend.
Happy. What birthday is it, can I ask?
It is the over 65. Never ask
no,
me.
No. You're not that old.
Yes.
No.
What are you kidding?
You're over 65.
Social Security. What are you kidding? Yes.
So are you a member of the AARP?
Oh, I was a member.
Your founding member.
At 17. I'll never forget reading a quote from someone at ARP, their magazine, saying, the last thing in the world we want people to think is that ARP is for old people.
No, only retired people.
Yes, exactly right. And if you notice the cover of ARP, it seems like it's getting younger and younger and younger.
Oh, yeah, I know. The people on there definitely don't look very old. Hey, so maybe that's because we're getting older and older and older, Dave. That's possible.
That could be.
So let me ask you something.
Yes.
What are you doing for your birthday today?
Let's see. We're going to have a birthday giz fizz. Becky's in the studio. And then probably later on go out and have a few drinks.
Where do you go? You live in Manhattan. You live in the capital of fun.
You know, on a Saturday night, downtown, I go to a Maria's, which is a Swiss. Oh, Leo, we went to Maria's together.
Oh, yeah.
Maria's. Maria's was great. She opened early for us. It was 4:30. I called up. She happened to be there. She said,
Maria's
Fondue
Hut. Hut. Yes.
Yes.
So do you have a gadget for us? Actually, would you do me a favor? We got to do an ad. Take a break. Enjoy some cake. It's your birthday. And when we come back, Dick will have a gadget for us. Dick
Bartolo.
I didn't even give you an introduction. Mad Magazine's maddest writer.
and the Gizwiz, and he's going to give us his Gizwiz gadget of the week in just a bit. But first, a word from Carbonite.com, online backup. Do you back up your hard drives there in Disneyland?
I do. I bought the 3-year subscription.
Do you have Carbonite? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Carbonite, you don't have to remember that you got it. You just set it up and forget it. But you've got this peace of mind because you know your stuff is always being backed up. You don't have to worry about how much because all the plans are unlimited. As little as $59.99 a year for everything on a single computer. You could do a server. You could do backed up external drives, all of that stuff. Just go to Carbonite.com, read the plan, and find out which plan is right for you. If you use my name, Leo, during the checkout, you don't need to use a credit card. You get 2 weeks free and 2 months free with purchase. Carbonite. Backup done right. Carbonite.com. Mac or PC. Do like Dick did. Buy 3 years for real peace of mind. Now you don't have to think about it for another three birthdays.
Exactly. Exactly.
You look great. You look great for some. I thought for sure you were. I thought this was maybe your 60th birthday.
So you look great. Well, thank you for that. Thank you.
But you work out regularly. I know that.
I do. I work out regularly. And days I don't work out, I either do 20 minutes of exercise or yoga or take my scooter in the park. I try to do something every day.
Good man. Wait a minute. You ride a scooter?
I live in a a little Razor pedal scooter. I'm not proud.
Keeps you young.
You don't have to park it. I come home and I hang it on a hook. What could be more convenient?
What's our gadget of the week today?
Gadget of the day is from Honeywell. About 6 months ago, a lady from Honeywell called and said, you know, we have a Wi-Fi thermostat. And I said, yeah, give me 3 reasons why it's better than the Nest. And she said, I'll call you back. she called back and said, it's more accurate. I said, well, you know, I don't know how to prove that. I said, it's so much like the Nest, I don't want to do it. So anyway, now I got a call, the Honeywell Wi-Fi smart thermostat voice control.
Oh, so I could say get cold and it'll get cold?
Yes, well, you know, like your smartphone, you have to start by saying, hello, thermostat. And then you can say, I'm cold or I'm hot.
I like that.
Now, you can't say, I don't know why, but you can't say, hello, thermostat, 78 degrees. But if you say, and there's like a learning curve, the way it was explained to me. If you say, I'm cold, it raises the temperature like by 3 or 4 degrees. If you say, I'm really cold.
That's so funny. So you don't actually tell it the temperature. You say how you feel.
Exactly.
It's because it is subjective. I think that's actually good.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
If you're chattering while you say it, does it add another 10 degrees?
I don't know. Really, no, I think it says, excuse me, what did you say? What?
No, I'm actually, we're moving into a new house. We have everybody does, an old Honeywell thermostat on there right now. They're the big name.
Yes.
This guy, Tony Fadell, who created the iPod, went out and started a company called Nest. You referred to it as a programmable thermostat. I have that right now. But I don't know if it's going to be – you know what? One of the things I don't like about it is it turns on the heat without you doing so. It kind of – it's a learning thermostat.
Yes, exactly.
And so it learned. I don't know where it learned that I wanted the heat turned on then, but I don't. So maybe I'll have to look at this
anyway. I think the problem is now the voice recognition adds $100 to it. So the Nest is $249.
Right.
And the original Honeywell Wi-Fi was $249. So the Wi-Fi with voice control is $349. It's a little bit bigger.
A little pricey,
it's more square.
Yeah.
You can also set the background color so it matches your walls. But it's worth taking a look at online. At least you can see a little demo. And Dennis just opened a bottle of champagne.
In your ear, it sounds like.
That's, in my
very...
And now it's sparkling, just like the thing that...
Do you hear fizzing now?
We call them the
Giz Fizz for a reason.
Oh, that's very good.
Go to gizwiz.biz. That's the website. You can play the What the Heck Is It game for a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Happy birthday, Dick.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're thrilled to
be. And if you happen to be in New York, the meetup is tomorrow.
Oh, is there somewhere?
2 to 4 p.m. Just go to the same website, gizwiz.biz. Click on Dick's Login Blog and read all about the meetup. Playing games, giving away stuff.
Wouldn't you love to meet Mad Magazine's maddest writer?
It's oh, like, yeah. Where's he going to be? Oh, I'm sorry.
Gizwiz.biz, you'll find out. Hey, thanks, Dick.
Thank you,
Happy
sir.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Great to talk to you again. We are almost out of time. I don't think I have time for another call, so let me just say thank you for being here. Our website, techguylabs.com. Thanks, Heather Hammond, for handling the calls. Our phone ranger. Thanks to our musical director, Nicholas Staton. And thanks to you for joining us. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.